Today, we are going to continue our series of messages that we're doing on the first Sunday of the month called God Questions. And what we're doing is we're answering the very basic questions about God and the Bible. So if you remember, as we have now went through six of the attributes of God, if you remember, when we started this series, our first message was, who is God? So the God that we serve and the God we worship as Christians is one God, right? We as Christians worship one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the Jewish people. We worship the same God the Hebrews worship, right? Throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that one God has manifested himself, and he tells us that he exists in three persons, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each one, are God, right? So we believe in one God who exists in three persons, right? Now, if you remember, as we begin to look at our message, which we're still doing, called What is God Like? And we'll be on it for a while because there's a lot of things he's like, right? So we've learned three important things, first, about this God that we serve and this God that we worship, is number one, he is omnipotent, okay? So he is omnipotent, right? Omnipotent, which means all-powerful. The God we serve and worship is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He is also omnipresent, right? Which means present everywhere, all the time. So there's nowhere you can go that God is not, right? His presence is everywhere. And then number three, the Bible tells us that God is omniscient, right? Which means he has all knowledge. He knows everything about the universe because he created it. But he also knows the minute details about you, physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything, right? So our God is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. Last time we were together, we learned three more attributes about God. You remember what those were? Number one, the chief attribute of God that you see in the Bible is that our God is what? Holy. He is holy, right? Last time we were together, we learned that our God is holy, which means he's separate. He's different than everything else that he has created. There's nothing like him because he's holy. He's perfect. He's pure, sinless, right? And because he's holy, he's also two other things that we learned. He's righteous, and because he's righteous, he is just. Exactly. Right? So he is holy, righteous, and just. The fact that he's holy and he's sinless, his eyes are so pure he can't even look upon sin, so therefore he has to judge sin in his righteousness and justice. His holiness demands that he be righteous and just and punish sin. So if we have sin in our life and we don't repent, he will one day punish us for eternity, separated from him. But the good news is this. He is also, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, he's also faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because he went ahead and already put the penalty of our sin upon his son Jesus and punished him for our sins. Therefore, if we place our faith in Christ, guess what? We are no longer under his judgment because of our faith in what Jesus has done for us. So now, when we sin, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive us. It's the right thing for him to do when you put your faith in Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Isn't that awesome? So our God is holy, he's righteous, and he's just. The next thing is this. He is truth. Our God is the true God. In fact, if you would, open your Bibles to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, will be our springboard text for the remainder of our time together. So he is holy, he is righteous, he is just, and he is truth. So our God is truth. Not he knows the truth, not that he does what's true. He actually is truth. Isn't that amazing? John chapter 18, if you would, let's begin reading with verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate's famous response in verse 38. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Now, notice in verse 38, the famous question by Pilate there. You've heard it quoted many times, right? Pilate said, What is truth? But notice the next couple of words after Pilate asked the question. It says that when he said this, he went out again to the Jews. He asked Jesus, What is truth? And then he left. He asked, What is truth? And then he didn't even stick around for the answer. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today who say, I want to know the truth. I want to know what is real. I want to know what is right. I want to know what is the truth. But you know what? They don't really want to know the answer. Because when they find out the answer, they don't like it. And there's a lot of people like that. Pilate was like that. Did Pilate really want to know what truth was? Well, if he would have, he would have stuck around for what Jesus had to say. But he didn't. He left. You see that? American journalist Herbert Agar said this one time. He said, The truth that makes men free is for the most part the truth which men prefer not to hear. The truth that makes us free is the very truth that we prefer not to hear. Once we hear the truth, wow, don't tell me that. Tell me something different. As a pastor, I deal with this quite often when talking with people. I'm going through a situation. I need counsel. What should I do? You know what I'm saying? And then I open the Bible and say, well, here's the truth. Here's what the Bible says. Eh, you got something else? Is that all you got? Well, I don't like that. I want to do something. Then you don't want the truth. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of people like that. But when you think about this question, what is truth? What is truth? Well, Webster defined truth this way. He said that truth is agreement with reality. Agreement with reality. So the question would be, then what is reality? Now what spawned this question or provoked this question in Pilate's mind? Well, before we discuss what is reality, look at the verse ahead. Look at verse 37. Look at it. Why did he ask the question, what is truth? He asked because Jesus said to him, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Do you see that? And then Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He mentions truth twice to Pilate. So Pilate says, well, what is truth? Well, truth is agreement with reality. It's to agree to that which is real and right and, of course, true. Now, German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, not only a German philosopher, but also a hater of Christ and the church and an infidel, here's what he said about truth. You ready? He said, all credibility and all good conscience, all evidence of truth comes only from the senses. How can you know truth? It's whatever you feel, whatever you sense. Whatever your heart tells you, whatever your five senses brings to you as reality, guess what? That's truth. See? And in today's world, there's a lot of people like that. They'll actually tell you, well, your truth is different than my truth. What you perceive to be truth is different than what I perceive to be true. In fact, the emerging church, those who are part of that church movement in the world today called the emerging church, they actually go so far as to say, there is no absolute truth. So therefore, everything is subject to your own personal interpretation. the Bible, your world, your environment, everything is subject to whatever you feel is true for you. Because there's no absolute truth. There's nothing to say that this is absolutely right. You know the only problem with that? Is you have to know absolute truth to know there's no absolute truth. Because to say there's no absolute truth means you're saying you know absolutely everything, therefore you came to the conclusion there is no real truth. But if you say there is no absolute truth, then you have to say you already know all truth. It's ridiculous. Okay, so is that what truth is? All evidence of truth comes through our senses? Well, that's what Nietzsche thought. Of course, he was an ungodly man, again, who hated Jesus and the church, right? Guys, listen. Reality? What is reality? If truth is agreement with reality, then what is reality? Reality is not how you feel about something. Reality is not how you feel in your heart about something, about God, about the Bible, about your world. And it's also not what you think in your own head. That's not truth. That's not reality. Okay? So what is reality? Reality is God's word. Reality is what God says reality is. So for something to be truth, it has to be in agreement with reality. We got to know what reality is, right? In order to assent and agree with the reality, for it to be a truth, we got to know what reality is. And reality is not always the way you see it or the way you think or the way you feel in your heart or think in your head. But reality is actually what God says in His Word. How do we know that? Because Jesus said in John 17:17, when He's in the garden praying to His Father, He said this. He said, "Your Word is truth." Not your Word or the Bible contains truth or has some truth. Your Word, every word that comes from the mouth of God, it is truth. You want reality? Open your Bible. You have the reality on every issue that you will ever deal with in your life in the pages of your Bible. His word is truth. It's all there. That's what reality is. It's not what we feel. It's not what we think. It's what He says. And you know what? Truth isn't, or reality isn't even this. It's not even your perception of things. But rather, truth and reality is a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in John 14:6, He said, "I am." Not "I was" or "I will be," but "I am and have always been the way, the truth, and the life." You see that? Reality isn't a perception. It's actually a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Pilate, when he asked Jesus what is truth, he could have rightly asked this question: who is truth? Not so much what is truth, but who is truth? So, anything that's in agreement with God and His Word is truth. Anything that's in agreement with God and His Word is truth, or it is true. You see that? French moralist Joseph Joubert said this. I love this statement. He said, "Truth consists of having the same idea about something that God has." That is accurate. That's what the Bible tells us. You want to know what truth is? Find out what God's idea on whatever it is you're thinking about, and guess what? You'll have the truth. Why? Because His Word is truth, and He is truth. And in His Word, He has shared with us what He thinks and what His ideas are about everything. There's no question. So for us to know the truth, for Pilate to understand, it's not a matter of trying to figure it out with your heart, figure it out in your head. You know what I'm saying? Or it's not the way you perceive things. It's what God says in His Word about Himself and about life that is truth. So He is truth. Now, there in verse 37... again, what provoked Pilate to ask this question? What provoked him to ask the question is when Jesus used the word truth two times, but specifically, if you would, look at the end of verse 37. Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." You see that? When Jesus told Pilate, everyone who is of the truth hears me, that stirred something in Pilate. It made him mad. It made him upset. Because Jesus was claiming to be truth at that moment. I am true. I am right. I'm everything that's right and is true. And so Pilate then says, what is truth? But again, doesn't stick around for the answer. He leaves. So he really didn't want to know. He just got upset at what Jesus said. But you know what I love? I love how the NIV, okay, I'm not a big NIV fan, but this verse, I do like how it translates this verse. Because the NIV says this. Instead of saying, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, it says this, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What Jesus is saying is everybody who's on the right side, everybody who has a handle on the truth, agrees with me, listens to me, obeys me. They come into agreement with what I say if they're of the truth, because everything I say is true, because my word's true and I'm truth. You see that? And I like how that translates it in the NIV. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens, agrees with, or obeys me. So, God is truth. Four times, let's look at some scriptures. Four times in three different Old Testament verses. Deuteronomy 32:4, Psalm 31:5, and Isaiah 65:16. And we'll put those on the screen so you have time to write them down if you want to write them down. But in each one of these verses, the Bible describes God as the God of truth. Not a God of truth, but the God of truth. He is the God of truth. He is true, and everything about him is true. The God of truth. It's interesting because when you break it down, you see that in the Old Testament, God the Father is called the God of truth. But you know what? When you look at scriptures such as John chapter 14, 15, and 16, you find out three times John said that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Not only that, but Jesus is called true. He's called faithful and true in the book of Revelation two different times. In chapter 3, verse 14, he's called the faithful and true witness. And then what we studied this past Friday night, in chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus is called faithful and true. So he's called true too. But not only that, John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, when he talks about the Word becoming flesh, he says that Jesus, as a man, was full of truth. And then, Jesus himself, as I already shared with you, he claimed himself to be the truth. So, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the one God we worship in three persons, all claim to be the God of truth. That's one of his attributes. He is true. That's why both Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10:10 and Jesus again in John 17:3, Jeremiah and Jesus, both Old Testament, New Testament, both state that the God revealed to us in the Bible is the true God. Jesus was praying to his Father again in John 17, and he said, I pray that they may know you, the only true God. That's what Jeremiah says back in Jeremiah 10:10, that the God of the Bible is the true God. Now, that means if the God of the Bible is the true God, what about all other gods that people worship? What's that say about those? They're false gods. They're not true. They're not real. And if the God of the Bible is the only true God, then the Bible is the only true Word of God. Did you get that? It's so simple, it go right past your head. If the God of the Bible is the only true God, then the Bible, which is his word, is the only true word of God. That means this book alone claims that it's superior to every other religious writing in the world. You know one of the reasons that this book is superior to every other religion in the world? Because the Bible has a long track record of telling history in advance before it happens. And God says in the Old Testament, I do this so that you'll know I'm God. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. He said in the Gospels, he even said, I tell you these things are going to happen So you know when they happen? That I'm the one that told you. And do you know that the Bible itself claims to be the only word of God? You will see in the New Testament this phrase used over quite a bit. The Bible itself calls itself the word of truth. So, if the God of the Bible is the only true God, that means, guess what? The Bible is the only true what? Word of God. So, guys, what is reality? As Pilate put it, what is truth? Your word is truth. Our God is truth. So he is truth. And his word is truth. In fact, let me give you some scriptures. I love this. Psalm 119, 160, it says this. It says, the entirety of your word is truth. So if truth is the agreement with reality, what's reality? The Bible. And when you're in agreement with that, you have found truth. The entirety of your word is truth. That reminds me of what Paul told Timothy. Paul told Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God or given by God by inspiration, which literally means God breathed. God breathed these words that we have in the Bible written down out of his own mouth. Right? Jesus talked about the word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then God, literally by the power of his Spirit, carried or moved upon holy men to write his word down. That's how we got the Bible. It wasn't just written by men. God breathed out his word upon holy men who wrote it for us. That's amazing. But Paul says that all scripture, in Paul's day, scripture was the Old Testament. Because guess what? He was writing the New Testament. But he was saying the Old Testament and everything that we share with you that's the word of God, he said it's inspired. He said, and it is profitable. All the Bible, guys, is profitable for us. That's why at Calvary Chapel, we study the Bible verse by verse and study it all. And so, the entirety of his word is truth. John 17:17, I've already quoted this to you. Jesus said to his Father, your word is truth. And I love this one. Listen to this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, he says, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in what? Truth. His word is in truth. He says, the very word of God. So his word is true. So, the God we worship is the true God, and he is truth. And the word that tells us about him, which is the Bible, is the only truth because it's his word. The word of the true God.